Hi, Sim, let's see. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. I had promised after we covered the letter from Mohammed in the first segment to enable everyone who stay tuned to this program to the second portion to experience God talking directly to them. And so as we proceed now in the second segment, I'm going to provide that service, I'm going to step away and let God speak directly to you. The source of this revelation you'd find in the first words that Yahweh spoke to all of us after having authored the Torah. We begin in Yahusha in the opening statements. We find Yahweh spoke as God. In the manner which relationally I existed with Moshe, I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor withdraw from you. And I will not abandon you, nor neglect you. Exclusively prevail by being strengthened, growing strong, firm, and courageous, and be very alert, bold, brave, and secure, by means of being observant, for the purpose of acting upon, actively engaging, doing, celebrating, and profiting, consistent with and according to the Torah, the teaching, the instruction, which as a result of the relationship, Moshe, my servant and associate, guided and directed you, not turning aside from it, not changing your direction away from it, not being pulled or departing from it, not leaving the Torah, or being removed from the Torah, not abolishing the Torah, nor rejecting any part of the Torah, moving away from what is right, or to the left, dressing or covering it up so that you gain understanding as a result of the teaching and succeed, that you gain insight and perspective, you become wise, circumspect, and think properly, and prosper in everything, wherever you walk. Do not depart, moving away from, do not lose sight of, fail to follow or change the written scroll of the Torah teaching. This, then, you should meditate upon, considering all of the implications, and it should flow out of your mouth in the light of the day and in the darkness of the night, so that you closely examine and carefully consider, consistently being observant for the purpose of acting upon, engaging in, and endeavor to work with, celebrating accordingly everything that is written in the Torah. For then, indeed, at that point in time, you will be prepared to succeed. You'll be useful. You'll accomplish the goal. You'll be empowered. You'll become successful. You'll prosper and thrive in association with the way. And also, at that point in time, you will gain understanding as a result of this teaching. And you will gain insight and perspective, becoming wise, circumspect, and able to think properly. Later, therefore, he, speaking of Yahusha, recited and proclaimed all of the words of the Torah's guidance, the Torah's direction, the Torah's instructions and its teaching, and the blessings of peace and prosperity, and the enriching and loving gifts, and also the sights, the slights and denunciations that were mentioned therein, even the vilifications. Just as all of these things were written in the permanently engraved scroll of the Torah, there did not exist a single word from all that which Moshe had instructed and taught, which Yahusha did not read, did not recite, did not call out and proclaim in a straightforward manner and in the presence of the entire assembly, assembled community of Yisrael, including the women and the little children, as well as the foreigners who were walking among them. Exclusively and invariably rely, and to the greatest extent possible, be observant with the goal of engaging in and acting upon, respecting, celebrating, and profiting from the terms and conditions associated with the Torah teaching, with the Torah's instructions, the Torah's guidance, which as a result of the relationship Moshe, the servant and associate of Yahweh, guided and directed you all with, for the express purpose of choosing to actually love Yahweh, your God, and to choose to genuinely walk in all of His ways, and to accurately observe and closely scrutinize, carefully examining, diligently exploring, and thoughtfully considering His terms and conditions, so that you actually want to pursue Him, so that you choose to stay very close to Him by following Him, and so that you actually serve with Him, with all of your heart, with all of your soul. And Yahusha diminished and extended Himself to serve and to bless them, and He sent them walking to God's and to their homes. Do not purposefully or deliberately associate with, He said, the things of the Gentiles from foreign cultures and nations who remain among you. And with regard to the names of their gods, you must not be compelled to memorialize them, mention them, or proclaim them. And you should not be prompted to swear an oath or to make promises by way of them, nor should you serve them. And you should not bow down to them, prostrating yourselves to them. Rather, instead, with Yahweh, your God, you should actually cling, staying really close, just as that which relationally you have been doing up to now on this day. And so now, respect and revere Yahweh, serving and working with Him with integrity, being completely upright, in an association which is entirely true, perfect and right, innocent, sound and sincere. And while being truthful, reliable and trustworthy, and reject and remove accordingly the gods which they, your ancestors, served in the eastern Euphrates, and also in the crucible of Egypt, and serve as a co-worker with Yahweh. Indeed, Yahweh, our God, He lifted us and our fathers up, and He took us away from the land of the crucible of Egypt, which serves as a metaphor for human oppression and divine judgment, from the house of slavery. And as a result of the relationship He engaged and performed before our eyes, the signs and the great and powerful things, and He closely watched over us and kept us secure all along the way which we walked, and among all of the people who were in the midst as we passed through. And Yahusha said to the family, "You yourselves are witnesses. Indeed, you yourselves have chosen for yourselves Yahweh, with whom to actively engage." And the people, they responded and said, "Yes, we are witnesses." And now, so then, leave, walk away from, abolish these foreign gods which are in your midst, and stretch out your heart to God, to Yahweh, the God of those who strive and endure with, engage and persist with, are set free and empowered by God. And the family of related people said to Yahusha, "With Yahweh, our God, we will engage, we will serve, and concerning His voice, we will listen." And so Yahusha established by cutting the family-oriented covenant relationship on behalf of the family on this day. And he appointed it as a clearly communicated prescription, an inscribed decree for living, and as the means to achieve justice and to resolve disputes in Shechem, the place where burdens are shouldered. And then Yahusha wrote these words in God's Torah. And he grasped hold of the great stone, and he stood it upright there under a large tree, which represented a set-apart place unto Yahuwah. So, folks, I may indeed be crazy. I may indeed be a moron. But the God who spoke those words to you isn't crazy. He's not a moron. If you want to listen to the voice of God, read his words. If you want to enjoy a conversation with God, listen to him and respond. Those instructions were clear. Those instructions told us that the single most important thing we can do in our lives is to open our eyes and focus upon his Torah teaching. Don't alter it. Don't change it. Don't annul it. Come to consider what God has revealed therein and respond to it. Focusing especially on the terms and conditions of the covenant, of the inscribed instructions as to how we should live, and to the means that God has deployed to resolve all disputes. That's what he is offering us. That's his will. That's what he's encouraging us to do. And he has made it very clear that if we do those things, we will prosper. It is as simple as that. We have just heard God speak to us. And this is what he has had to tell us. Now, unfortunately, most people choose instead not to listen to the God of the Torah, choose to reject Yahweh's guidance, his Torah teaching. And for that, there has been a horrible consequence. That consequence is religion. And we'll return to that in a moment. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Gold.
Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. Sharing that testimony with you, the first words that God spoke after revealing his Torah to Moshe. Sobering. Scott and I have a good relationship. We typically talk during the breaks. I don't think Scott said three words. It's hard to say anything after having listened to that. Yes, Scott?
It's just one of those things that you hear, and like you can't add anything to it. I mean, it's pretty very clear-cut what it says. And,
yes.
And there's nothing to add. There's not. We have something to talk about. Something comes up in the segment that, you know, I'm either itching to talk about or you want to talk about. Something happens.
Yes.
Something like that. It's just one of those things that, boom, there it is.
There it is. There's only one proper response, and that was the response that you shared with me at the end of the break.
It's very somber. I mean,
it causes you to what?
It makes you listen, pay attention.
Yeah,
you have to pay attention at that point.
That's what. This is God immediately after he has now revealed the Torah to Moshe. He is passing the baton. And he is speaking to Yahusha, the son of Nun. Nun means the eternally existing one. And whether he is speaking to Yahusha just as an individual, this is God's advice to someone he was going to work with, to live with, to empower, to embrace. And so if you want to be someone who God uses, you want to be someone who does what God says will cause you to prosper, then these words are for you. If you wish to have the kind of relationship with Yahweh that Yahusha did, then these words are for you. Now, you can also view Yahusha here as Yahusha ben Yahweh, because he is a prototype for Yahusha ben Yahweh. Yahusha ben Yahweh is the Masayah, the diminished manifestation of Yah. And if Yahweh is telling Yahusha ben Yahweh what we just heard him say, if it were good enough for God, if this was God's advice to himself, might we take it seriously as well? Was Yahusha, by having endured Pesach and Matzah so as to celebrate Bukurim, which means firstborn child, simply the means by which we are adopted into the same family as God's children? And therefore, is this message to you and I as his children? There's only two things in this message. Only two. You can boil all this down to two things. Now, God has said it so emphatically, so dramatically, that you might somehow miss the fact that he only said two things here. The single most important thing he said is observe, focus on my Torah. And he said it over and over again. Observe, focus upon, consider my Torah, my teaching, my guidance. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Don't try to abolish it. Don't try to change it. Come to a focus on my Torah guidance and follow that guidance. Embrace it. Act upon it. And if you do, you're going to prosper. You're going to grow. You're going to be empowered. Everything positive that can possibly happen will happen to you as a benefit of heeding that advice. What's the second thing God said? Don't, under any circumstances, emulate the ways of the people from different races and places, the Gentiles. What were the ways of the Gentiles? The very thing that God asked Abraham to walk away from. Babylon. Religion, politics. National economic schemes, national military schemes. Don't follow in their ways. They are religious. Don't mention and proclaim and worship and bow down to their gods. Don't be religious. Don't be political. Don't be militaristic. Don't be patriotic. Don't emulate their ways. Don't emulate the ways of Egypt or Babylon. The most political and religious, militaristic places on earth. Because if you do, you'll become slaves to those human institutions. If you do, all of the blessings that are associated with my Torah teaching relative to the covenant go away. Now, there's one other thing that God emphasized here. That as he was talking about his Torah teaching, he called out three things in particular that he encouraged us to focus upon. Three things. They are the same three things that Dode focused on his song to the Torah, the 119th, which we considered in our program yesterday. And I'll reemphasize these when we return. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We were talking about Yah's statement here to Yahusha, the beginning of the book of Yahusha, and there were several things in it that were interesting, although God only had two themes. One is focus on, observe, think about, come to understand, embrace, act upon his Torah, his teaching, as the dominant theme of his instruction. He also made it very clear that he does not want anyone to emulate the political and religious behavior of people from other nations, which is the very essence of Christianity and of Islam and Buddhism and socialist secular humanism. He says, don't do that kind of stuff. Don't engage, don't copy it, don't emulate it, and yet that's what the vast preponderance of people have done. The things that God emphasized here are the same three things that were emphasized throughout the 119th Psalm, which is the song to the Torah. God wants us to focus in his Torah on three particular things. One are the instructions which he has inscribed, which means put in writing, the choke, that are enable us to live. So this, the prescriptions for living that he inscribed. The second is his mitzvot, these, the means that God has used to resolve disputes, which are comprised of the seven steps that we take from our troubled world to his home. And the third are the mitzvah, which are the terms and conditions of his covenant. And so that's why he concludes by saying that in the end, and Yosha not only wrote all of these things down, but that he established by cutting the family-oriented covenant relationship on behalf of the family on this day, and that it served as a clearly communicated prescription and inscribed decree for living, as it was used as a means to achieve justice and resolve disputes. The covenant is the means to salvation. It's the means not only to life, but to resolve disputes, and that's why it was directly associated with the covenant, and how the covenant is the thing that we deduce from the Torah. But the second thing that I just wanted to mention here before we move on, we have Jossie on the phone, is that it ends by saying, and then Yosha wrote these words in God's Torah, which means that these words are included either in the Torah, capital T, which is books that typically are thought to end with Devarim, which is mislabeled Deuteronomy, but now must also include the book of Yosha, errantly named Joshua, or that God's teaching is his Torah, includes a lowercase t, which is rather than the title of a book or a collection of books, is in fact just a common noun, and that the Torah is the totality of all of God's teaching, his instructions and his guidance, regardless of where they are found in his word. Those things said, we have Joshi on the phone. I understand that you had your own encounter with an atheist today, and that chat room that exists has been all abuzz with other people's experiences relative to the beliefs of atheists. Hi, Jossie. How are you?
Hi, Yad. I'm good. And I missed your first hour, so I don't know what you discussed, but I do know it involves the letter. And just this morning, as you prefaced, I have to read you what this person wrote. She's an acquaintance. She's okay. Learning about Yah. She was accepting the covenant, and I have no idea what happened, but this is what she writes. A benevolent creator would not condone genocide, rape, slavery, and baby killing. Again, I don't think it is rational to follow a God who knows the beginning from the end, has the power to stop suffering, yet chooses not to, yet intervenes to help some, but when it comes to helping someone else, it's free will, and he can't interfere. The whole system is set up to fail. If you really want a deity like that to be free, I'm going to pass up and mind control. It's all BS. If you have to, all you have to do is read the Bible to see that. And I just saw this in about faith. I don't know what happened, but I didn't know how you were going to respond on that.
Well, the letter is uses the same theme of BS to describe God's testimony. The thing that most people miss as it relates to the primary claim that is used by those who hate the Torah is that there is a reference in the Torah as the children of Israel are coming into the promised land, that God says that that the iniquity of those who are there in this little sliver of land is full. In other words, they can't be helped. The religious and political corruption that permeated their societies had reached the point that it's, for the most part, it is in the United States, where there is no one who is going to be able to break out of it and find the truth. And so he says, you know, there is no hope left for these people. There is no chance they're ever going to come to know me and exist beyond this mortal life. I gave them life. I gave them free will. I gave them a conscience to differentiate between right and wrong. They have squandered these things. And now, so that I can reveal myself to the world through you, I want the hosts of religion and politics eliminated from this little sliver of land for this very short period of time as I go about the process of revealing myself to you and to the world. And so what most people don't recognize in that is that the host of religion and politics, the very things that are so genocidal, so destructive to humankind, are the very things that God is trying to distance his people from. The second is that that God only offers to help those who seek his help. And he only helps those who seek his help, who seek it in a way that is consistent with what he is willing to do. And so free will enables anyone to dislike the God who revealed himself in this testimony or to embrace him. But God is quite consistent on who he will help and what he will do as it relates to free will. His willingness to help us is to help us embrace the covenant so that we can come to know the covenant, understand the covenant, respond to the covenant, and if we respond to the terms and conditions of the covenant, he will help us. That's what he said as it relates to his Torah teaching. Observe it, focus on it, listen to it, act upon it, and you will prosper. But if you choose instead to embrace the gods and the religious and political agenda of the people from other nations and places, then death, destruction will be your lot.
And Yada, it just so happened I was reading Psalms 81 this morning, and then I saw that post by the person who turned atheist. And it just so coordinated because it said on 81:13, if my people had listened to me, Israel would walk in my ways.
Yeah. You know, there would have been absolutely no genocide, no killing, no suffering of any kind if we had chosen to listen to Yah's teaching. Abram and, or I should say, Adam and Chawa chose not to. And they were left to a world of great suffering. Death and genocide. They were expelled from the garden because they made that choice. We all have that choice. And the very fact that most people have chosen not to listen to God's Torah teaching, we live in a very hellish world that is getting more hellish by the day. And God simply says, I have provided guidance to you. If you accept this guidance, if you embrace this guidance, if you rely upon this guidance, you will prosper, you will grow, you will live. Everything that you do will turn out in the end to be wonderful. We'll work together, we'll live together. If you chose to ignore this guidance, this is the consequence. And the consequence is you'll cease to exist. So your friend made an informed choice. She chose not to listen to the God who authored these words, chose to dislike him. And that is her choice. Every Christian has made that choice, but for a different reason. They don't like the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And what they typically do is they will take what she did, one statement out of context, and then create a whole ruse based upon that one statement to say that, well, the God of the Torah is miserable and mean and deadly and and fickle, and if you don't know the whole story, if you take the story out of context, if you misquote the story, then it's easy to write him off that way. And so my guess is that what she did is she went to an atheist website, and they presented ignorantly the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms in that manner, and that was enough for her. She didn't like what she was hearing from him, and chose to reject him.
And I think what happened to Yada is it started with there's a bunch of people who are now saying that Yah wants everybody to be vegetarian, and there's no way that he would have allowed the killing and the murder of animals and all this. I think that's where it started. Now it's like, oh, he's just a very, very barbaric God. But she was picking up on what Yah was about, his covenant, his love, and then just, like I said, just totally went off. And I think it was because she got an influence somewhere, but...
That's fine.
Got his foot in, but I just had to share that, and I thank you so much for sharing,
y'all. Yeah. Well, you're welcome, and the reality is that only one in a million people comes to listen to what Yahweh said as he spoke to Yahusha at the book that means Yahweh saves. One in a million embraces him, comes to know him, comes to choose to love him, which means the majority of people either ignore him or they dislike him. And so your friend is in a very popular place. Scott, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
That was it, and I will
Okay, Josie.
Bye.
All right, Josie. Thank you very much. We'll be back in a moment. Segment of Shattering Myths today. Scott and I were talking during the break, and one of the things that Scott picked up on is that the writer of the letter did exactly the same thing that Hasatan did in the Garden of Eden. It's the same thing that religions do. What she did is she took one statement from God out of context, that of the Yahusha's instructions to eliminate the host of religion in the Promised Land, took the one statement out of context, misquoted God, twisted it to promote their own agenda. It's the nature of religion. It's kind of like Satan has but one trick, and that trick seems to work, so why come up with another one? Yes, Scott?
I was going to also say that to blame God for everything, for everything that happens that's bad, is like, once you at the same time then have to give him credit for everything that is good. I mean,
she wanted God to be bad, so it didn't work.
Well, yeah.
She called it the whole system, from her view, was losing. And the whole system, apart from God, is losing. In fact, I asked you during the break, what would have happened to the people who lived in those towns had the children of Yisrael not arrived? They would have what?
They would have died.
They would have died. And so what happened different to those people per God's instructions had God not issued those instructions? What would have happened to them that would have been different? Anything?
They would have died.
They would have died.
They would have died.
Is there what the Torah teaching tells us is that there is no life apart from Yah's instructions. And so what God is saying to us, that if we are going to be separated from him, if we're not going to listen to him, we're going to die. Some die quickly. Some die after a long life. Some live prosperously and then die. Some struggle all the way through life. But what he said is that if you do not know him, you're going to die. It's like you created a chemistry set, and everything in it is your creation, and you recognize that you've got some folks over here to the side that are poisonous, and that if you let them continue, that they're going to infect and kill the entire colony that you have created. Do you let them go and poison everything and destroy everything that you have conceived? Or do you kill the cancer so that there is hope that the body might survive? Hi, Larry.
Hi, Yada. You know, Jossie had talked about the girl that walked away, you know, really from the truth, you know, and that's her, her right. You know, we're all free moral agents out here. We got free will. But I looked on her page, and one of the things that was out there were all the contradictions in the Bible. Well, of course there are contradictions in the Bible. It's 50% inaccurate.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, one of the fine examples would be the sun was made on the fourth day. No, that's not what it says. It says it became visible on the fourth day. And, Yada, could you tell me why that would work directly in line with science?
Yeah, the reality here, Larry, is that those who are opposed to God are typically opposed to the religions which have corrupted Yah's testimony, and that's a great example. Yah's testimony does not say that the sun was created on the fourth day after animal, after plant life had been conceived. It says simply that the sun and the moon, as the greater and lesser light, became visible on the fourth day, and they became visible as a sign of the Moed, of the meeting times with God. And not only did the Earth's atmosphere clear to the point that the sun and the moon could be seen for the first time on Earth.
Because the planets had eaten all the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
And because we weren't constantly being bombarded by asteroids, by meteors, and the prevalence of volcanoes had dissipated to the point where the oceans were no longer boiling and the atmosphere did clear, it just as science now attests and Yah's testimony proclaims, so that the sun and the moon could be for the first time visible. Now, while that story is accurate, and while the atheist will always contradict that story to prove that the Genesis account is not true, and of course they have to corrupt it, they have to create a straw man to perpetrate their argument, the power of the fourth day is actually in what it predicts. It says in the fourth era of humankind, year 4000 Yah, that the greater light would walk among us and be seen as a sign. The greater light was indeed the very person we were reading about, Yahusha, in the fourth day of human existence, expelled from the garden, became visible as a sign, and we beheld him and met with God. Goodbye, everyone. This is Shattering Myths.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture.